show. It's gonna be a great show, folks. So please hang tight. We'll be right back here on the Sunday Forum. The host, Walter Smith II, and my main man, Mabili. Yep. We'll see you.
WMNF Tampa, this is Sunday Forum.
NPR News in Washington, I'm Nora Rahm. The Senate will take up a $95 billion foreign aid package this week that includes long-awaited assistance for U.S. allies. Lawmakers will have to break from a previously scheduled recess in order to vote. NPR's Barbara Sprunt has more.
The House passed a foreign aid package on Saturday that includes funding for Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan. It also includes a bill that would force TikTok's parent company to sell the platform or face a ban in the U.S. The House package passed because of bipartisan coalitions. A majority of Republicans voted against aid to Ukraine. 37 Democrats voted against aid to Israel. Lawmakers briefed by the intelligence community say this comes at a critical time for Ukraine, which says it needs more weapons and supplies to continue defending against Russian attacks. Barbara Sprunt, NPR News, the Capitol.
The aid to Israel is also opposed on some college campuses. Protesters returned to Columbia University yesterday for a fourth day to show support for the Palestinian people. They've been occupying the lawn for several days, demanding a ceasefire in Gaza. New York City police had cleared out the encampment last week. Graduate student Layla Saliba says the crackdown may be motivating students to continue their protest for the Palestinians.
People in Gaza, they are starving. They have lost everything. Their homes and their apartments have been bombed. So we feel like we have a moral obligation to continue doing what is right and speaking up for the Palestinian people.
Police have arrested more than 100 protesters. Russia is condemning the House approval of more than $60 billion in aid to Ukraine. NPR's Philip Reeves reports.
The Kremlin's reaction is no surprise. Russian news agencies quote its spokesman, Dmitry Peskov, saying that while it'll make America richer, the aid will further ruin Ukraine and lead to even more Ukrainian deaths. Peskov condemned provisions in the bill that could allow the U.S. to use frozen Russian assets to help Ukraine. Russia would retaliate, he said. Moscow's also denouncing the House's decision to approve billions for Israel and Taiwan. Russia's foreign ministry says this will exacerbate global crises. The vote came as Russia's war with Ukraine raged on. Moscow said Saturday its forces shot down some 50 drones across 8 regions, apparently targeting its energy infrastructure. Philip Reeves, NPR News.
FBI Director Christopher Wray says his agency is on alert for threats against Jews. Passover begins tomorrow, when Jews celebrate the exodus of ancient Israelites from slavery in Egypt. The U.S.-based Anti-Defamation League says that incidents of anti-Semitic assault, harassment, and vandalism increased dramatically last year, up 140% from 2022. You're listening to NPR News in Washington. In Australia, a candlelight vigil was held at Bondi Beach today to honor those who died in last weekend's stabbing attack in a Sydney shopping mall. Christina Kukula has more.
Hundreds of people joined the vigil on Sunday evening local time to remember the victims of Australia's worst stabbing attack in years. Local Waverley Council Mayor Paula Marcellos addressed those gathered.
What happened here last weekend is just unfathomable. We are all in mourning.
Candles were lit and a minute's silence held to honour the 6 lives lost. The service also paid tribute to the security guard and police officer who risked their lives to save others, and to the emergency responders who attended to the many injured. For NPR News, I'm Christina Kukulia in Melbourne.
Tomorrow is Earth Day, when citizens of planet Earth are encouraged to think about ways to protect it. Climate scientists warn of global warming, largely caused by the burning of fossil fuels. Philip Orton is an ocean researcher at Stevens Institute of Technology in New Jersey. He says warmer ocean temperatures are causing more intense hurricanes.
There's definitely been an uptick in the intensity of hurricanes, and many of these have made landfall in the United States, causing severe damage and coastal flooding.
Another problem is plastic. This year's Earth Day theme is Planet versus Plastics, to increase the public's awareness of the harmful effects that plastic pollution has on the environment and people. I'm Nora Rahm, NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include StoryWorth. Each week, StoryWorth emails a loved one a question about their life. After a year, they'll publish family memories into a bound book to keep forever. Learn more at StoryWorth.com.
If you love classic soul, R&B, Caribbean, gospel, hip-hop, or house music, and if you love podcasting and exclusive interviews, if you love urban culture and urban music, then you'll really love the Urban Cafe channel. You can find it here on HD2 if you have an HD2 radio, or you can go to WMNF.org and download our mobile app so that you can listen to it all the time.
Join me late Sunday, early Monday for Body Rock with Mike B. on WMNF 88.5 Tampa. The heavy metal disco train leaves the station at midnight for a three-hour dark journey into the sonic underworld of alternative music. Body Rock with Mike B. Sunday, midnight, WMNF 88.5.
I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, 9 a.m. weekday mornings right here at 88.5 FM. You'll hear the same fearless investigative reporting on topics too hot for the mainstream media. Tune in to Democracy Now! 9 a.m. weekdays right after the morning show. That's right here on WMNF, Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota, Lakeland, Clearwater, Winter Haven, and Venice.
Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the one and only DJ Spaceship reminding you that every Monday morning, that's right, every Monday morning on WMNF from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m., tune in as me and my co-pilot Nate Dogg give you the music you love, the topics to get you talking, and the motivation to get you out your bed to start your week off right.
Right now, you are tuned to the Sunday Forum with Walter L. Smith, the second in the Fourth State crew. And we're taking your telephone calls. You can call us 813-239-9663, or you can write djwmnf.org. Walter?
All right. We're back here on the Sunday Forum with your host, Walter L. Smith, the second. And Mobilio.
Yes, sir.
Exactly, brother. And, man, we have a great show today. Thank you, gentlemen, for coming in. And thank you for all this. Listen, we have a caller on the line.
No.
Caller?
No, we don't.
We don't? Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, that's you.
I reserve that line.
Okay, well, you reserve that line. Okay. Call in 813-239-9663. 813-239-9663. Call in. We're looking forward to hearing from you today on the show. Okay, so now, Mr. Powell, tell us about your organization.
I'd rather tell you about something more important than my organization.
Okay, all right.
I'm one of many organizations who have come together to try to do something that we believe is very important in this county, in this city, particularly to the black community. I really want to talk to you about raising the bar. Raising the Bar Restorative Justice and Prison Reduction Initiative, which we began coming together to discuss and do some planning around over a year ago now. We had our first inaugural meeting, our first kickoff meeting, October 30th of this past year. And, you know, we are looking forward to some very important efforts and accomplishments to happen this year, beginning with the Raising the Bar Restorative Justice and Prison Reduction Conference, which we've put together for to have held at the Hillsborough Community College on April 26th and 27th. But the bottom line is, and I've got to get this information out, the reason we started discuss this initiative is because of some information, statistics that we got from the Florida Department of Corrections, that Hillsborough County has the highest recidivism rate of the top 10 most populated counties in Florida. And we send, in raw numbers, more people to prison from Hillsborough than any other county in the state. Now, no one can really explain that. We've got a number of very well-functioning and passionate community leaders and organizations. We've got caring people, we've got skills, and we've got resources. Why would we have the higher recidivism rate than Miami-Dade, Broward County, and Palm Beach County? We're the fourth largest county, but we have the highest recidivism rate. So we believe there's some issues operating below the surface here in Hillsborough that we need to dig deeper in. And one of them is another statistic. That is, African Americans only make up 17 to 18% of the population in Hillsborough, but we represent over 50% of everyone incarcerated from Hillsborough County, right? So there's some implications there, and there's some, it really serves as an impetus for us to come together as a community. That's what this conference is about. We're just doing an all-out blast and having everybody who has any concern or who have been directly impacted or who serves this population to come to Hillsborough County Community College, the Dale Mabry campus, on Friday, April 26th through and Saturday, whether you can make one or both days or half day, we have to have your face there. We need to see you. We need to have you come along with some other community leaders, including now Councilman Vieira and state representatives who are going to be there and others. We think it's so important for us to come together because one thing that I have discovered is that Miami-Dade, Palm Beach, and Broward County all have a task force that's been operating. They've come together and developed a strategic plan for those counties to address criminal justice issues. We have no such entity. We have no such plan. I can't even determine if it's ever been attempted before. That's why we're coming together, because it's overdue. So we want to start to develop the infrastructure, the leadership, and create, establish, matter of fact, on the second day, Saturday in the afternoon, we're actually going to start to break out into subcommittee discussions around what are the issues at the front end of the criminal justice system. How can we intervene before youth or returning citizens who may have violated probation or something, before we send them back, what else can we do as alternatives to incarceration or to prevent individuals from going into the prison system?
It used to be like at one time, we had a there was a time in our history where we would the Nation of Islam, right? The Nation of Islam would take in people, get out early from prison,
right,
and join, you know, as long as they were members of the Nation of Islam, they would take them in and actually work on them and transform
them. That's right.
And I think that, you know, despite any whatever criticisms there might be of the Nation of Islam, I tell you, their programs work.
Oh, yeah.
They work. And, that's right. You know, that's an undeniable fact. From 1932 until now, yeah.
That's right.
I mean...
And we're in touch with them. We're not, you know, I'm Christian, mm-hmm. but this issue is nonpartisan and it's interfaith.
Exactly.
So we've reached out to everybody. Exactly. I've been in touch with Brother Chad from the Nation of Islam, and he's going to be at the conference this weekend, the weekend of the 26th. So we are reaching out to everyone. And in fact, at a couple points here, because of some support, financial support, I'm prepared to give any of the listeners a discount code that they can use to get in if finances would be a limiting factor for their attendance.
Okay.
So I can do that now if possible.
Let's do it now. And then we'll do it again later.
Okay.
So we can let people know. So folks, listen up. You're about to get a discount code for the upcoming conference. What is it, Mr. Powell?
Well, first of all, you have to go to our website, and that is our role. We are the executive producers of this conference, but we're not in charge. We're not, you know, the decision makers on it. So you have to go to www.powernetoftampa.org, and you'll see on the on our homepage, Raising the Bar, and then go to the appropriate buttons to register. But if finances are a limiting factor for you, use this discount code. And it's RTB, as in Raising the Bar, COMP, as in Comp, 2024-100. And that gives you a 100% discount on the registration. RTB. COMP 2024-100. So because of some funding that we just recently confirmed, we're able to offer that to any listeners, anyone who is listening may give it to someone else.
Right.
You may be asked to help us out maybe at the registration table or do something else, but we invite you to come. It's much more important for you to be there if you're concerned about this, particularly if you're directly impacted or a family member of someone. It is so important that we come together, and particularly Saturday afternoon, we need people to start to become part of our advisory council. I've got to mention one other thing that's unprecedented here. So often resources are a limiting factor. And when I've talked to some of our elected officials, sometimes it comes back to, well, we don't have the resources. We've got some other competing issues and priorities. I'm so proud to tell you that Community Foundation Tampa Bay has had the wisdom at our request to establish the Raising the Bar Restorative Justice and Prison Reduction Fund. For the first time in their history, they've set up a criminal justice reform fund. And if you go to their website and Google Raising the Bar, you'll see the fund is set up. Now, it's not full of a lot of money. It's there for all of us to give a dollar, $5, $10, for corporations to give $50, $100,000. There's a legal fund set up now that the whole community can contribute to help move this initiative forward. Now that we saw the value of setting up back in the fall so that we wouldn't have roadblocks and impediments to moving forward.
Right.
So if you're just hearing about this conference now, I wish we could have gotten the public relations out sooner, but we had to get some systems and some infrastructure in place.
Right.
So, and publicly, I want to thank State Representative Diane Hart, who's one of the co-chairs, as well as Dr. John Cochran, who's the chairman of Department of Criminology at USF, who's the other co-chair. The three of us have been working together to put this this initiative together and this conference.
All right, all right. Well, we got some calls. Let's go to the phone lines, and we have with us Mr. Craig Powell, PowerNet of Tampa, and City Councilman Louis Vieira in the house with us today on the Sunday Forum. Caller?
I've been working together to put this...
Caller? Turn your radio down.
Conference.
Caller, you might want to turn your radio down. Down.
To the phone lines, and we have...
Caller?
Craig Powell, PowerNet.
Yeah, he need, he, we'll see if he can get it together, but let's keep moving. Nah, he's still got it up. He obviously walked away from the phone. 813-239-9663 is the number to call.
All right, 239-9663. Call in. Okay, so,
let's see.
Okay, let's see what this is.
Okay, go ahead, caller. You're on the Sunday Forum.
Caller?
Yes, sir. Are you ready?
Yes, we are.
Yes, this is Solo calling from the bird. I want to say tribute to the title, Raising the Bar, Recidivism. Much respect, because we can do this. Collectively, we can do this. And these brothers and sisters, not forget the sisters. They need our support, and we can do this. So kudos and tribute to Raising the Bar.
Okay. All right.
Excellent.
Uh-huh. All right. So shout out to you.
And the words to us. Okay. It's not about PowerNet, not about
well,
me.
When I say you, I mean collectively.
Okay.
You plural.
Okay.
You plural.
Thank you.
All right. Call it.
Hello.
Yes. Call it.
Yes. I'm on the air now.
Yes, you are.
Okay. My name is Valerie Bullock, and I want to talk about the infrastructure and the pipe program in East Tampa.
Okay.
City of Tampa have millions and millions of dollars to upgrade the infrastructure. We do not have to wait for Resolution 568 board to come together and do all of that. According to E, on one of the commitments that they say they were going to do to black people, that would provide economic opportunities through jobs and training. We would like to get 75% of the jobs in East Tampa pipes program. Whenever we go and meet the city officials, they always say it's a problem with transportation. The people don't show up. Where we live in East Tampa, and they putting pipes down on 34th Street, we will be there every day. And that would be a good gesture to let us know that they are serious about following up on Resolution 568. We black people are so far behind economically when it comes to the jobs and when it comes to housing. So we're going to have to be drastic when we start programs for black people. And I think the PIPES program would be very good for this. So it's just not symbolic. We did the resolution. We passed it. And I give kudos to the councilman. He was there every week. We were down there fighting to make sure that Resolution 568 got passed. But right now, it's time to put the money where your mouth at. We want money in these black boys and black young men pockets in East Tampa. We would like to have a part of the American dream also. Thank you.
Absolutely. Hmm. Absolutely. Councilman?
Yes, and Ms. Bullock, thank you so much. She's been coming to City Council and always has a very sincere and thoughtful voice, and we appreciate that, you know. So it's funny, when it was a resolution, it was an idea, right? Now we're putting it into place through a committee, and again, it's going to be on the City of Tampa once they come up with their recommendations. But like you said, Ms. Bullock, we don't have to wait for the committee on beginning to do certain things. I'll give y'all a couple of examples. A couple of years ago, and I work with Walter on this, I put forth a law that said that if you're a contractor with the city and you have a contract over $1 million, 12% of your workforce has got to come from a skilled trade certified apprenticeship. That gives tremendous opportunity to a lot of young people in the city of Tampa. So if you have a $30 million project and a big part of that is labor costs, guess what? You're going to have 12% of that going to job training for the future. Mm-hmm. We just did the East Tampa Rec Center Fair Oaks expansion and broke ground on that, $35 to $40 million. I was proud to vote for that. One of the things, by the way, that I also proposed, it didn't make it, but hopefully it will in the future, is Sulphur Springs. I tried to get just a discussion on a Sulphur Springs CRA, right?
It didn't pass.
It failed 2-5, it was, on even a discussion on it. So what we're going to do instead is to have a workshop on Sulphur Springs. But this is my view, and this goes to the heart of what Ms. Bullock talked about, is we need to have in place something that, how can I say it, gives continued procedural support to an area like Sulphur Springs. Because if our hands aren't tied with compassion on Sulphur Springs, 3 years from now, we're not going to do anything, right? Just like we haven't done much over the last few years, myself included, by the way. I'm one of seven. I tried to get at least a dialogue on Sulphur Springs CRA, couldn't get that. So I agree with you, which is we don't have to wait on, and by the way, I think there will be some movement on that in the future. Sometimes, you know, people look at it a certain way. I've changed my mind on things where I go, you know what? Now that I've talked to somebody, I see it a little different. So there's a lot of hope for that in the future. But we don't have to wait on these issues to make progress. I agree with you, Ms. Bullock.
All right. Okay, let's go to the next caller.
All right. Go ahead, caller. You're on the Sunday Forum.
Yes, hi, this is Keila McCaskill here. Thank you all for having this show today.
Hey, Keila, how you doing?
I'm good. On the back of the Sulphur Springs conversation, it was more so, yes, Sulphur Springs needs a CRA, but East Tampa has had one for 25 years, and look at it. Although they've had pockets of development, there's nothing really set in stone and concrete to help improve East Tampa. It's been around just as long as Channelside, and look at the difference. And I know it's a different, you know, wallet that it's pulling from, but the point is that there is nothing, you know, there's no plan in place. There's no developer consultant saying this is how it could thrive and be just as successful as some of the other areas. So there's a point on that. For this Resolution 568, I just had a concern. This morning I'm hearing organizations that are not necessarily or have not necessarily been a part of this resolution. My first time hearing it was from Ms. Connie Burton. And so I was wondering if these organizations have already been contacted and said that they would like to be a part, or is this just names that someone put out there and hopeful that they want to be a part? It sounds a lot like this whole new CRA for East Tampa. They just put people on there that necessarily gave the names, and they necessarily didn't want to be a part. And then they found out they had to backtrack and start all over again because those people could care less about being a part of the CRA. So with those organizations, I'm not saying that they don't, but have they been contacted and have they expressed an interest to participate in such a board? And then final, I was hoping that the council members would select organizations and the community would select the voices or the people that represent 568. It's the opposite, because just weeks ago, they didn't want to have anything to do with it. So now that it's here, I was hopeful that they would pick organizations and the community would pick the people that would represent this Resolution 568, especially if it's all about listening to the people. The people brought it forward, so we're hopeful that it will come, six or seven or how many ever, will come from the community, and then city council will pick organizations that they feel could best represent the goal we're trying to achieve here with this resolution. Thank you all for your time.
Thank you. Councilman?
And thank you, Keila, and happy Sunday to you. Good morning. So a couple things with the Sulphur Springs CRA. My intent is to start a dialogue on spending money in Sulphur Springs, because right now we don't do much for them. I mean, we got a fire station for them a few years ago, Fire Station 25. Yeah. And if you ask the, you know, everyday folks in a lot of our CRAs, West Tampa area, Ybor City, East Tampa, et cetera, it's a net positive in their community. And I want to have that dialogue. And that dialogue, in my opinion, is not done. We need to have a dialogue where we put an area area like Sulphur Springs on the forefront. I think that's very, very important. With regards to the Resolution 568, like I said before, if you take the lead on this and you step out, because again, it's been a while and nobody on City Council, the committee was asking for it, and I said, hey, here I am, I'll do it, gladly. You're, you know, what's that saying? If you can't stand the heat, stay out of the kitchen. There's going to be heat on this issue. So with regards to the organizations, City Council did pick those because we voted on the resolution that specifically cited these organizations. And yes, obviously, I wouldn't pick an organization without saying, hey, do y'all want to serve? And in fact, most of these organizations were organizations who I had spoken to before making the motion on the areas of the committee. Because again, it is about listening. I've probably done, I think, 75 or 70 or so town halls in the last 7.5 or so years. I'm always good at listening. And in fact, that's why I'm on the show this morning, because I want to make sure that people have an opportunity to ask questions about this. And I'm glad to come back anytime, because again, this is a very sensitive issue. And I want to make sure that we deal with it, that all of us deal with it as respectful as possible. So those organizations were, in fact, picked by City Council by virtue of them supporting the resolution. There were some changes to the ideas that I had that, by the way, like on the facilitator, I said, let's get a pro bono lawyer. And I think it was Councilwoman Hertak said, no, let's get a paid facilitator. I go, you know what? It's good. That's awesome. And I think that's going to make, and kudos to her, that's going to make great progress, I think, on the committee. This is one where City Council strongly supported the six organizations because they represent facets of the community that we want to have input from. Again, it's not going to be perfect, right? It's not going to be perfect, but I'm glad to stick myself out there for as good as it gets on this issue, absolutely, in my view.
Absolutely. You know, we talk, we're gonna go to the net. Wow, we got some more callers. You know, this is a hot topic. It's a hot topic.
Oh yeah.
And these hot topics, because as we look at this, and you and I, as you said before, we worked together on the issue of apprenticeship, and now I'm gonna be working with Mr. Powell on the same issue. You know, we have got to come up with some solutions, right? And I think we have solutions, right? We just have to actually put them to work.
Yeah.
As you said before, when I ran for City Council, one of the things that I put out there was the fact that the city had never actually invested in the people. Mm-hmm. And what I meant by that was just this same thing. You know, you've got to put something into these communities. Mm-hmm. It is astounding to me. Astounding to me that Sulphur Springs has gone as long as it has gone. Mm-hmm. And I've said this many, many times before, without any type of economic injection of any sort into that society. It's actually a poor society. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And they whatever they've done, they did themselves. They have eked out an existence. They have a little league up there, thanks to Bill Ravenel and to Miss Moffitt, mm-hmm. that have come together, and they've worked for years with that little baseball field up there, and the YMCA that's there.
Yep.
You know, they've done a lot to try their best to keep these kids and the families mm-hmm. doing something there. There was a gentleman there, gentleman from Senegal, I want to say, who had an educational center there. He engaged my father when my father was with us. Mm-hmm. He engaged my father with help, and my father gave as much help as he possibly could. And we actually considered purchasing that piece of property, but it's placed so badly. It's right there by the railroad tracks. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, you know, being there in Sulphur Springs, you see what's happening. There's just nothing there. We need an injection of economic stability there. There's an industry. There's an industrial plant there for bricks, mm-hmm. That makes bricks. I don't know how many people they've actually hired from that community.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? I know the owner of that company is a white man, and I've actually been there before, and, you know, just to talk to him and try to find out more about that area, mm-hmm. and what he was doing. There was nothing being done. Nothing being done. And so that says to me there's a problem. When there was a discussion about the stadium, I fail to understand. From day one, you ask anybody who knows me, I said from day one that when the stadium discussion came up, mm-hmm. the stadium that I've always said and held on to the fact that the stadium needed to be put right there where that racetrack is.
Yeah.
That mm-hmm. racetrack isn't doing anything.
Yeah.
Nothing. Absolutely mm-hmm. nothing. Mm-hmm. And take that thing down. It has the infrastructure there already. You have an expressway there. You have several main roads. You have 1, 2, 3, 4 is surrounded by 4 main roads.
Mm-hmm.
You know, come on, main arteries. The expressway is, come on. And there are no real historic buildings there mm-hmm. that are of consequence outside of the ones that are already marked that can't go. Those buildings can go. Mm-hmm. They were built after 1950 and have no particular historical value at all. Take them away. Get them out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Support the people that are there. Give them jobs. That was a job. And they just overlooked it.
Mm-hmm.
Completely overlooked it.
And if I may, with Sulphur Springs, you know, it's over 70% of the kids there live in poverty.
Yeah.
It is. And again, I want to make sure there's progress on this issue. All 7 city council members have a heart for the people. I really do believe that. And we're going to continue to make progress. Another issue is an East Tampa grocery store. We've been talking a lot
Absolutely.
About that. And that's something I'm very, very passionate about. I always tell folks, listen, if I live somewhere and I didn't have a grocery store within 20 whatever minutes of me, I'd be really angry. And I'd be wondering, what's the local chamber of commerce doing? What's local government doing? Because this is a necessity. So it all comes down to respect and dignity for people, Walter and Mr. Powell. It just comes down to respect and dignity and kind of like expanding your horizon as a person and going, hey, listen, like returning citizens, it's a big issue that we don't talk about because it doesn't affect us. Mm-hmm. And we got to put it on the forefront.
Hey, let's go to the lines. Man, I love this guy. Let's go to the lines.
Go ahead, Carla. You're on the Sunday Forum.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes. Welcome to the Sunday Forum.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
This beautiful Sunday morning. Thank you so much
for
bringing this subject matter to hand. And thank you, I want to say, to Councilman Lewis, you know, for ringing that bell for Sulphur Springs.
And,
I'm here not only as a supporter, but I've been here for many years. And first, people want to feel proud about where they live, and they'll start taking care of it. The premise has always been, that it's supposed to look like that, and the people want it to look that way. They want to live a certain manner. We like the blight, and that's not true. That's not true.
No.
A lot of people are really sick of being here, and the kids that are growing up are ashamed. Are ashamed when you tell them, when you ask them, about their future. One of the first things that they say, including my kids that are around me, is they want to move away from here. They want to get away. That's never good. That's never a good thing. It's not a good sign. It's a bad reputation. And it's a bad reputation on our government. But I want to talk to you about not only 568, but also the, since you brought up Sulphur Springs, how that can be, 568 can be incorporated with health benefits in Sulphur Springs. Councilman Lewis, what do you see about as far as the food, intake or Sulphur Springs? There's nothing missing around here. That's horrible. Most of the time you ask people, hey, would you rather have, healthy, your health, or would you rather have money? The majority of people would say we'd rather have great health. How is that being addressed that we're not able to access the best health that we can get, And also, as far as 568 Council goes, I wanted to go ahead and nominate some people because we need the community to speak. We need our voices to be heard. So the people that that's actually going to be on these committees.
Do you live in Sulphur Springs?
Yeah. I'm sorry?
Are you a resident of Sulphur Springs?
For 19 years, going on 20 years. Mm. Yes, sir.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah. Actually, hey, listen. God bless you, man. God bless you, man.
Yeah.
God bless you.
I'd like to see if Valerie, Connie, and probably Daryl Heitz can be on that committee.
Listen, I guess we're going to be taking names, huh?
I know, right?
We're going to take names here on the Sunday Forum.
Huh?
it's all about, it's about voting, it's about naming names,
Yes, it is. Name them. Let's hear it.
Yes. Valerie Bullock, Daryl Height, and Connie Burton.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. All right. Those cities. And also, could you please address the fact that we don't have a decent place to eat out here?
Mm-hmm.
I want a salad. Just to get a decent salad, that's not hard. That's produce.
Man, let me say this. Let me speak to that for a moment. As an environmental engineer and an environmental advocate, let me just say this. One of the toughest things, when I started out in business, mm-hmm. I started out doing home inspections, right? Mm-hmm. I would do inspections all out in Sulphur Springs, right? I worked with the baseball team. My kids grew up playing baseball mm-hmm. and softball in Sulphur Springs, mm-hmm. right? So I spent a lot of time there. Let me tell you, it is a shame.
Mm-hmm.
It is a crying shame mm-hmm. that there are only 1, 2, 3 corner stores there, one of which is considered to be a grocery store, which really is more of a corner store than anything else, mm-hmm. than a grocery store. It has meats there, but they're outdated. The meat is outdated. Any produce that they have, mm-hmm. like, in terms of vegetables, no good. People still go there for chips and sodas and things like that. You know what I'm talking about, man, right there on UConn.
Absolutely.
Right there on UConn, by the railroad. There are two places by the railroad tracks,
right.
And right there, right central on UConn before you get to the railroad tracks. And then there's a third place.
Okay. Walking distance. Most people around here walk, mm-hmm. and that's disgusting.
That's right. That's right. And we got to do better. We got to do better. There's plenty of space there to put that to mm-hmm. put the to put something there that's going to be worthwhile
yeah.
for the people to go to that's healthy. Mm-hmm. That stuff is no good.
Yeah.
It is no good.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who sell it, you know, come on, man, they don't eat that. Why mm-hmm. would you want to give it to us? So, you know, you get what I'm saying? We spoke, Mabili. We've had this conversation. You know, I get very angry when I talk about this. I get very angry about this. You know, ma'am, you know, I'll be glad to sit up there and do something about that. You know, I don't have to be on the committee to do it.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be glad to work on that. That's just... Yeah, please.
And thank you, ma'am, and thank you for all your thoughts. Couple of things, and I neglected to say this. When I made the motion on the grocery store, I also included Sulphur Springs in that. So staff is looking at that. Does that mean something's going to be fixed overnight or within a year? Absolutely not. But I just, again, I want to get the ball rolling. With nominations, you know, speak to council members on individuals. Now, you know, we have 7 nominations, 1 each. So there's a lot of people. There's going to be tons of people who should be on this committee who aren't going to be on this committee. That's just by virtue of math, right? Right. But I would urge you to do that. And ma'am, I'd love to. If you want to reach out to me at lewis.viera@tampagov.net, I'd love to set up a meeting with you on Sulphur Springs. Again, what I say is 1 year of being good to Sulphur Springs in the budget won't do. Because it just won't do. We need to have a mechanism in there by which Sulphur Springs gets special attention because it's been ignored. It's been ignored. You got to put that issue out there on the forefront of people's minds so that they don't forget about it. Like things like Sulphur Springs, things like, hey, listen, if I don't live in an area with a grocery store, how does that make me feel? Things like returning citizens and Mr. Powell, those are really important issues that a lot of people don't think about. And it's about empathy through politics.
That's right.
That's what it's about.
That's right. That's right. What's that? Snacks? It's right here.
Oh,
man, come on. Florida Avenue, right there on Nebraska. It's ridiculous.
You know my nutritional habits, Walter. Man. You know. I'm the ice cream king. Little
Debbie's. Mr. Ben and Jerry's.
You know me, man.
Hey, let me tell you. We're gonna talk about this. We're going to not just talk about it, we're going to do something. It doesn't have to be something. And keep this in mind, ma'am. And to the rest of you out there, and we're going to go to the next caller. Please keep in mind that solutions for the community do not have to start with the city council.
Mm-hmm.
The solutions for your community start with you. They start with you. If you can find a way, you bring it up to some people, you do something collectively, and you make it happen. Make it happen. We talk about the police, right? Okay, so let's talk about crime in your community, okay? The police get there after the crime has been committed. The police get there after the crime is committed.
Much too too long after the crowd.
Way too long. So what do? You create an atmosphere where, you create an atmosphere in the community and society, if you will, where you lessen the ability or the need or the environment for crime. You get what I'm saying? Mm. By getting people involved in early on with getting things done, you know, in the community. For instance, cleanups. Mm-hmm. You get those kids out there clean. Hey, they tell somebody, hey, don't be throwing any paper out there, man. Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. You know, that clean. Just clean this up. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm not gonna come. Don't do that. And that's the type of thing you got to do. Get together, organize amongst yourselves, and get something done. Yeah. That's how you do it in the community. Let's go to our next caller.
All right. Go ahead, caller. Let's see. Get you on the air. You're on the Sunday Forum.
Good morning, brothers.
There she is. The Queen Mother. How you doing?
I'm fine. Thank you. Peace and blessing. And to Brother Craig Powell and his team that has done tremendous work and lifting. Congratulations to you, brother. I just want to say that Resolution 568, we should make it very clear. It spoke to the ills and the abuse that has been done to African people, and that would be inclusive of all city of Tampa. That's number one. It don't talk about everybody's problems. It talks about specifically things that was done to African people. So this is what I think needs to happen. The body of the people that represent the interests of our community definitely needs a seat at the table, even if you had to expand the table. That's number two. If we continue to wait and prolong, we're headed to a very disastrous conclusion. I believe that this can be a working document because everybody understands what is wrong already. You council persons have to have the will to make things happen. It's almost like going into a five-alarm fire. We don't have to study it. We know it. And so I'm hoping that the community stay interest involved when these meetings do have, irregardless of who's at the table. We're all going to be in the audience, and we're going to make the demands that we see the type of solutions that we need, not a year from now, but as we work each day through these processes of identifying ongoing needs in our community so we can have a bright future for all. But thank you so much for all the work that you're doing thus far.
And before you hang up, but let me just say this. I was there. You saw me there. Mm-hmm. Let me be clear about this point. I heard your group ask for $150,000. It's going to cost way more than $150,000 to commit to something like that, and they deserve it. Mm-hmm. They deserve way more than that to deal with this particular issue. And I think that type of investment. It's just a drop in the bucket.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what are your thoughts,
sure,
on that?
Sure, and so...
I want to hear from you as well.
And with the cost of the committee, I know we're going to get a facilitator, et cetera. There are going to be costs incurred with it, obviously. A couple of things, and thank you, Ms. Burton, and happy Sunday morning to you. I think you have to look at what this city council has already done in terms of what we're going to do. I talked about the apprenticeship ordinance. We've worked some on returning citizens. The Fair Oaks expansion, and a big thing that all council members have been very passionate of, which is 30% of funds in CRA for affordable housing. Before this, the city of Tampa didn't really spend anything on housing, really, just pass-through funding. These are city of Tampa dollars going to affordable housing. So what I would say is that look what we've done over the last few years together in terms of the commitments that we're going to have in the forthcoming years. Again, I really do believe that every single person on city council has a very good heart on these issues and wants to see more dignity given to marginalized communities. And again, the purpose of this committee is to allow stakeholders, city council members, city of Tampa, the mayor, to listen to people who have been marginalized for too long. Then the onus will be on us to act and to show that we're moving the needle. I hate that term, but that we're moving needle on that issue.
Well, you know what? And one of the things I want to make sure that I'm clear about, mm-hmm. is I don't want council or the mayor or anybody in authority, in the authoritative seats, to feel as though this is some absolution from what has been done.
No,
the reality of it is that this again is a drop in the bucket.
Yeah.
For what's been done, and yeah. I don't doubt that you know this.
Yeah.
But you know, it needs to be verbalized. Needs to be outright verbalized.
And that's a
you're an attorney, so you know.
Oh yeah, I know. And that's a great point, which is again, this isn't some absolution, whatever you want to call it. This is a challenge and something we should have done 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years ago. I mean, again, if you look at the history of our country from 1619 all the way to the end of the Civil War, 250 years of slavery, 100 years followed by 10 years of hope and reconstruction, 100 years of lynching and torture during Jim Crow, we're trying to acknowledge that history and to see what we can do today to correct today's injustices. So that is a long process, and again, to put yourself out there as an elected official to talk about this is risky, and you're going to get hit for it. I don't care. That's it. Just trying to do the right thing, and that's it.
Yeah, thank you.
And Walter?
Yes.
This last thing. We recognize that's not enough money to deal with the ongoing systemic problems.
Yes,
we also are laser focused on the upcoming budget, and we are paying attention to that as well as know that we'll be going into another political season. So we don't plan on just sitting idly by looking for some quick gratification, but we understand, just like the councilman laid out, the long history of pain and oppression that has affected Black people in this city. And we're saying that in order for our community to move forward, in order for Black men and women to stop being on the front line of recidivism, we need the targeted approach to solving the problem that comes with truth, reconciliation, resources, and hands-on with our political leaders as well as our citizens holding this thing accountable. So thank you so much.
All right. Thank you very much, Queen Mother. Let's go to our next caller. Mr. Powell, do you have any comments on this?
Yes, I want to go back to what you said about we need to come together in the community.
Yes.
These issues begin in the community and they end, particularly in criminal justice, right? These individuals, these families are affected, get caught up in a system, and they eventually return to the same communities.
Mm-hmm.
That is why it's so important for us, the dog, the tail. Who does the tail wag dog? The community needs to step up. We need to begin to believe that change can happen.
Yeah.
And I appreciate politicians and government officials, elected officials like Mr. Vieira, but we have to move the needle. We have to
take agency.
Help. That's right. We have to demonstrate what our concerns are, because, in fact, they support us. You know, they're the ones representing who we are and what we're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate elected officials, but boy, I think Connie and others like Connie, and I know 100 different people in this community who really want to do something. And if we started working together, elected officials wouldn't have any choice but to support what we're doing if we start to move in concert.
Absolutely.
And, the purse strings, we really control the purse strings. We're the taxpayers. Mm-hmm. We're the ones paying for these services and the salaries of our community leaders. And that's why we had to get the Community Foundation Tampa Bay on board, so that we could operate independently of decision makers in government whose priorities may change based on the politics of that year and who's in position and who's not in position. The community has the greatest sustainability, for anything that we can start. Mr. Vieira is not always going to be in his position. As good a guy as he is, he's not going to always be there. So what happens when he leaves? We've got to make sure we have the infrastructure and the leadership from the grassroots community to move these things. That won't change.
Right. I think what happens when he leaves is he goes to another position.
We'll see. Maybe just a private lawyer again. Who knows?
Maybe at the state. Because I'm wondering how much is the state of a chilling effect on what the locals try to do, especially the more progressive it is. It looks like we have a government at the state level that wants to purposely put a chill on what they do. But before you go there, let me also just say that there are some good emails coming in, as well as a lot of calls coming in. And I do want to say that we have one emailer from Brooksville, Rich from Brooksville, that says the brightest futures are in vocations and are well paid after schooling and licenses. We need vast numbers of people to fill the future jobs and industries for a growing state. And these brothers and sisters can make a future for themselves. Talking about those who were formerly incarcerated. Yeah. And, you know, they said that this is the best way to reform those formerly incarcerated is to provide them work, whatever that may be. And also have another emailer that is written in, and specifically to Councilman Vieira. Mm-hmm. What is the status of Sulphur Springs Swimming Pool, which is currently shut down and drained? Will it be repaired and open for summer?
Yep. And may I? So with Sulphur Springs Swimming Pool, I got to check on that. I don't have that information here. But one thing I did want to say, and I will, if they want to email me, I'm glad to do that. On the state, I'm very lucky because I'm represented by Fentress Driscoll in the state house. And here in the Tampa area, if we could have 100 Fentresses. Yes. And, you know, Fentress Driscoll, I've known her for a while. She's a Harvard undergraduate, Georgetown law graduate. And like, she is a passionate fighter. I was out with her this week, and she has an election this year. And if you want to volunteer for a campaign, go Fentress. She's
a Harvard graduate, so that means she's probably likely to end up being president of the United States at some point.
Let's hope. Let's hope. You know, she's the best.
You know,
well, if we had 100 of them, that would be wonderful, too.
I know, right?
Amen.
Go ahead, caller.
Go directly to you, caller. Quick question, caller. Hello, caller?
Hello?
Hey, go directly to your question, please. We got 30 seconds. Go.
I want to know if this resolution passes, right? I'm a returning citizen, and you put Abe Brown and all these other ministries that supposed to cater to the returning citizens. When are you going to actually interview some of us that has actually walked through these programs, that have a lot more to say, that has left us missing a lot of things that could be vital to making it a better situation than where they leave us once we graduate out of these types of programs and we're left to fend for ourselves? And if you don't have the determination to make it, you're going to be that number that increases the recidivism that goes back.
Yeah. And if I may.
Yes,
and thank you, ma'am, for that. And so, for example, I'm going to go on Saturday to Mr. Powell's event. It's all about exposing yourself to different experiences.
That's right.
And that's the best thing that you can do. And then have people in power who... Really quick, if I can just tell a really quick story that I always love to tell, where President LBJ was doing the war on poverty, and George Reedy, his press secretary, said, "Why are you doing this, Mr. President? Poor people don't vote. They don't vote. It's not good politics." And he said, "I don't care if I get a single dollar passed for poverty programs," but which he wanted to, "but by the end of what we're working on, nobody in the middle class can go forward in their lives without not knowing what the poor go through." And that's the big thing, is putting in our faces and going, if you don't act, then why the hell are you going to church on Sunday?
Hello.
That's all I'm saying. Hello. So hello. That's it.
Hello. Next caller.
Boy, I want this young lady to come on Saturday to the conference.
I'll be there.
Please be there, because you could be among the individuals who are making the decisions on how we move forward and the use of resources. This is not a government-run initiative. This is a grassroots initiative. We need individuals like yourself to step up, because you know what needs to happen.
Okay, I'll be there Saturday.
All right.
God bless you.
Great. Well, Billy, we don't have any time. Can we take another call?
Yeah, let's try.
Let's try. You got 20 seconds, caller.
Go ahead, caller.
20 seconds. Got to run to your question. Caller?
It must have changed. Go ahead. Caller, are you there?
20 seconds, caller. Go directly to your question.
I'm going to be real straight. One of the things that I think is most important is two things. The tax-free entities have to be accountable with this building, and secondarily, that unions are a way forward where we're going to be able to carry and put action together to make these things work. And without that, we won't have anything. We'll need collective bargaining. We will need to take advantage of some of the things that are out there, like this year, 2024, there's a 50% stack tax credit for renewable energy. Why aren't we talking about that when we talk about affordable housing?
Right. Yes, sir. Sorry about that. We got to cut you off. Listen, we want to thank you, Mr. Powell, Craig Powell of PowerNet of Tampa. Louis Vieira, thank you for coming out.
My pleasure.
Hey, Mabili?
Yeah.
You and I, here it is. Hey, listen, as always, from our voice to the airwaves, to the hearts and minds of the people, we love you. And there's not a thing you can do about it here on the Sunday Forum. Join us here next for the Postmodern Hootenanny. Next. All right. Peace to everybody out there. This is WMNF Tampa.